Isaiah chapter 4. The net result, hopefully, of the destruction of the high places and the groves, and the process of what we're about, is that in your mind, nothing that is perceived by the senses can ever cause you not to know that you're in the New Jerusalem. That the New Jerusalem is your permanent place of abode, and nothing evil can happen to you. It's impossible. Now, in the New Testament, there's a prepositional phrase. We've talked for years and years, we've talked about what it means for Christ to be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, there's in the New Testament, the prepositional phrase "in Christ" is used over 200 times. It's probably the most common expression in the New Testament. Now, to be in Christ means to be in the New Jerusalem as your permanent and only place of residence. You understand? Now, the reason the Sabbath ties into all this is because, as we'll see in Jeremiah in a moment, you cannot enter the gates of Jerusalem if you're not in the Sabbath rest. And so if you have any burden, anything that you feel responsible for, any plans or activities, all of these phenomenon, that's what God, that in Jesus Christ, called burdens. He didn't just mean things that you were worried about. He meant anything that was not permitted in the strictest sense of what the Sabbath rest is. That's why in entering into the gate of the New Jerusalem, you have to cast all your care upon Him, for that He careth for you. You understand? And it's only in the New Jerusalem, as your permanent place of abode, can you abandon yourself. It's only in Christ, or in the New Jerusalem, can you take no thought for tomorrow. It's only in Him can you take no thought for your life, for the food you're going to eat, for what you're going to do. Because in Him, it's all complete. Amen? So as we said the other night, if you are in burden, then you look at the Psalms of Ascent, and you see yourself walking up to Jerusalem. And you enter the gate in joy, and as you enter the gate, you cast your burden on Him, and now you're at perfect peace. Now you're at perfect rest. Now it's not only Christ in you, which really doesn't do anybody any good, because Christ is in all men. He's the light that lighteth all men. That's the meaning of Pentecost, which we're about to celebrate. But it's only when He is in you and you are in Him that the process is complete. Otherwise, His death, resurrection, His life, death, and resurrection are a meaningless thing to you. It's because you still have your high place identity. Therefore, He's being crucified and you're running around doing stuff. Amen? No.
I don't really understand why you made that connection. The I in Him and the He in me, that's the only time that anything's happening.
Well, because from God's standpoint, for Christ to be in you, it's cheap.
Because He's in everybody.
He's in everybody. Okay. To every man has been given the measure of faith. He is the light that lighteth all men. Men love the darkness more than light. Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, is the only source of light. So, to have Christ in you, and you continue to live your life, for you, it's as though he never existed. Your life, your daily activities, it wouldn't make any difference whether you were a Muslim or a Jew or a New Waver, it didn't matter. You can have a label on you that says you're a Christian, but it's when you see him in that day, it'll be as though I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity, because you've been establishing, you've been running around trying to establish your own rightness. In every dimension, this is true. Now,
that's only if it's him in you.
No.
I thought that's what you were saying.
Him in you is all true for all men.
Okay.
So then, you in Christ is only true when you're in the New Jerusalem, you cease from your own labors.
Oh, okay.
Because it's something outside of sensory perception.
Right.
It's something that...
It's something that can only be done by faith. This is the critical issue of the New Jerusalem. It's the New Jerusalem can only be entered into by faith because you can't see it with your sensory perception. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, which means by the passage of time in one sense, or by sensory perception. For the kingdom of God is within you. Now, let's set our faces like flint to go up to Jerusalem. Now you can do that. Understand? Does everybody clearly understand the difference between Christ in you and you in Christ? You in Christ, you could sit here for 433 years and listen to me preach about Christ in you, and you'd go to hell. Doesn't mean anything.
Is it like different stages of understanding where you realize that Christ is in you and then you realize that you're in Christ?
Right. You remember the process that Paul talks about in Galatians. He says, we believe in Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ is operative only in the New Jerusalem. It's only when you enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem can you live by the faith of Christ. That's why I've told you, if you wait on the Lord outside the gate with the mind of a Gentile, you'll starve. If you wait on the Lord while you're continuing to maintain all your aces in the hole, you will die. If you wait on the Lord by simply putting his name on your idolatry, you cannot enter the gate and you're dead. While you yet live, you're dead. If you wait on the Lord while you're setting about to establish your own rightness, you are dead. Even while you live. I'm trying to bring everything we've studied into focus. Are you getting a clearer picture? The reason that God said that without faith it's impossible to please him is because everything culminates, if you read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, everything culminates in the New Jerusalem. It's so important. And you can't possibly see the New Jerusalem by sensory perception. Ever. Never. Never. That's why it's such a joke to think about all of the Christians spending all their energies wanting to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That's done forever. That's why now we understand. Now we get the connection between faith and the plan of God. Do you see it clearly? I hope the latter rain is falling so that you can see with the clarity of that no shadows of turning. So you never again have the excuse in your mind, I didn't understand. So it behooves you if you don't understand. Because your silence is a witness against you. That sounds bad, but I'm telling you that in the New Jerusalem is joy unspeakable. In the New Jerusalem, there's no tears except tears of joy. It's only in the New Jerusalem which isn't on fire in the Spirit.
Thought about something today that I think this is a picture of what you're talking about, and I have every confidence you'll tell me if it's not. the thing that happened on Passover when we were all in a room and you know there were 25 tornadoes in North Texas. I mean, it's just all around. And then you know again last night the same thing with the ambulance outside. And I was thinking about it more today, and the picture developed further in my mind. It's like, you know, this idea that I just had this whole scenario envisioned that there was a big nuclear war going on between the United States and Russia, and everything was blowing up, except for, and I don't know why I thought two, but I thought a body of people here and a body of people in Russia, that there were two rooms full of people in the world in total joy, you know, while. And that's the New Jerusalem.
Amen. And it's the overriding reality available to all men if they would enter into the rest. There's a reality that is always here in any possible situation.
I know when I hear this, I think, what can I do to enter into the rest? But I can't do anything.
You cease from your own labors.
That doesn't mean not, don't wash the dishes.
Let's find out what it means. Isaiah 4.
I'm glad you asked.
I kept hearing over and over, and I don't even know who said it last night. But I, at the end of church, I said, "Does anybody have any prayer requests or needs?" And somebody said, "You're kidding." I bet I heard that in my mind 1,000 times a day. It was the neatest thing I've heard in 10 years from the body.
You're kidding. It has to be at the right time.
Timing is everything, Johnny. Timing is everything. Thank you. Isaiah 4, verse 2. And the only reason we're not reading from verse 1 is I don't understand verse 1. So we're starting at verse 2. Because I don't understand verse 1.
I think I like verse 6, 7.
What are you doing, Rick?
Counting up the women.
Verse 1.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. What day? The day you enter the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because that's the overriding day since the cross. It's the eighth day of the feast. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. And you know that Christ is called the branch over and over and over. And glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely, for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, how does he do that? How does he do that? How does he wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion? Now you are clean by the word that I have spoken.
Christ.
And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. We had some burning going on here lately, folks. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Who is Mount Zion? We are. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Never to be removed. Never to be moved forever and ever. Nothing in this universe can touch it. Not nuclear weapons, not bombs, nothing. Nothing. Nothing can move you from that permanent residence. This is the answer to the question earlier. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now the word defense there is properly translated covering. You understand what that means? Covering is one of the most important concepts. It's that which is your protection. It's that which is your sustenance. It's that which you look to for help, for anything. It's the husband in the spirit.
Is this aside from God, other than God? Or?
No, he is the covering. But the point of it is, it's the cloud by day and the fire by night. That is your only guidance. This is how faith is tested. This is the trial of faith. If the cloud is down, you move. You don't do anything because that's doubt. You stay there. If the cloud is raised, then you move. And it's never an effort. It's never extending yourself. It's just following the divine impulse that's resident within this vessel. If the cloud is down, you wait. It doesn't matter what external circumstances appear. When the cloud is raised, you move. That's what the difference between your own effort and entering into his rest is. Any time you are in doubt, and doubt means you have to choose between one or more options, you wait. You do nothing. In the smallest intimate details of your life.
Takes a lot of the heat off.
There is no heat. It takes all the heat off because he's your covering. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covering from the storm, and from rain. Well, that's the promise. It's in the New Jerusalem. Now he's going to remind us of some stuff. Now he's going to remind us of Israel after the flesh, which we are exhorted over and over in the New Testament to learn from. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. What's a wild grape in the spirit? One, it's a, if you can imagine it, it's a grape that follows his own devices rather than waiting on the cloud and the fire. Doesn't matter if he has all the right words, if he hangs around for 43 years. The test is this internalized position of being a wild grape or the grape from the choice vine. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard? So I've said so often to you, everything that is available, everything that is necessary, everything that is needed for your total and complete revelation and your total and complete obedience is here now. You need nothing else except you turning from self until you stop believing that lying mind that says you're going to get identity from some other source other than God, and that your covering or protection or sustenance is going to be from some other place other than the Holy One of Israel. What could have been done more to my vineyard? Everything has been done. You no longer have the luxury of me saying to you, if you have something to do, go do it. The next time I say that to you, I'm going to say, if you have something to do, go do it, but you risk the fear of God, because we may not be here when you return. We have come too far for any more of that kind of license preaching. Necessary, because we wouldn't have had a body if I'd have said that 8 years ago. Now, no more. You'll never hear me say to you, without the second half of the clause, that if you have something to do, go do it. But if you go do it, you risk that you will not be in the New Jerusalem when he returns.
I feel like the door just hit me in the rear.
Amen.
Which way was it closing? Was it...
I was running in, I believe.
Running in. I'm like, ping.
Yeah.
I mean, hear that. This is God. What more could I have done? And he's saying that to you over and over and over and over. And you keep, your mind keeps telling you some all kinds of bullshit. Well, if this could happen, then I would. Or if that would be, then this would be. And therefore you believe and give breath to dispensationalism, to doctrine or to beliefs that are dependent on time, and they're false. Things are going to change around here, folks. God, hear him. What more could I have done? Your mind, well, he could have done this, this, and this. Jesus, he could have made Jesus walk around here, and then we'd have believed. Or he could have given me some kind of revelation like he gave Oli, then I could believe. Right. If you believe that, then if you had been among those that partook of the first Passover, you would have been left in Egypt. Because you would have said, what does this mean to you? And thereby you would have excluded yourself from the brethren. That's what you do when you say, if only. These aren't light words, folks. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? You are the vineyard. Jesus said it. I am the vine, you are the branches. Do you ever see a vineyard? You can't tell the difference. You cannot look at a vine in a vineyard, and you cannot tell where the vine begins and the branch begins. Vine, it. I mean, it's all one thing. What could have been done more to my vineyard? Now, I can hear your mind saying, well, you could have done this, God. Or you could have done that. Well, you don't say it. You don't have the guts to say it with your mouth. But God sees it in your actions. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is saying to you, what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say you are. What more could I have done in my vineyard that I have not done in it? Most of you have spent the last few years having a form of godliness, but denying his power or his ability. You've continued and continued and continued, no matter what you heard, no matter what you saw. You've continued running about establishing your own rightness. So you have been, what you're saying when you do that, what you're saying to God is, Christ is of no value. None. Well, he's a little bit valuable. I wave at him every once in a while. No. It's either all or nothing. All or nothing. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Every time you see wild grapes in the scriptures, all you have to do is think of it as
self-seeking.
Are those like, real wild grapes? Really, they don't taste good? Or
no, they're bitter and they're terrible. They're real small, dinky, little, ugly. And they taste like, they taste, we're talking bad.
They're no value to God.
They're no good to break the wine.
Man. And go to. Okay, when the scriptures say go to, you got to pay attention.
Is that a part sentence?
No, it means to. It's one of those things that means, all right, pay attention, folks. I'm going to say something important. Now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard.
It's kind of like it's God's billboarding.
God's billboarding. God is. Thank you, Tom.
Here it comes, folks.
I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. It's still his. He can do anything he wants to it. I will take away the hedge thereof. the wall of protection. And it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, and there shall come up briars and thorns. Every time you see the words briars and thorns in the scriptures, you know he's talking about Esau. There's over 200 parables in the New Testament, in the Talmud, that have to do with Jacob and Esau. Jacob is always reflected as the good fruit, and Esau is always reflected as the briars and thorns. Esau is you, yourself seeking. That's what it means. Esau is the word to do in the Hebrew language. And Esau's other name is Edom, which means the human race, the blood, Adam. He's Jacob's twin brother. Jacob, by grace, is transformed to Israel, she who sees God. Esau, by his own doings, is the briar and the thorns. Oh, but you don't understand, Ollie. I just have to do this. No, you don't. You're lying to yourself. Take it out. If you have something you want to do in your mind, take it out to its logical conclusion, which is nauseous. It's again in the spirit. We talked in the scriptures about it. It's the dog returning to its vomit.
So we need each other to help take that out sometimes because we can't see it.
Man.
You know, we don't want to take it to that place. We want to make it go some other place.
That's like you do with your sexual fantasies, as we've talked about. You do the same thing with everything else. But you have these great images of some past sexual activity or something that's locked into your mind. And so you lock it there. And you stop time. And if you're thinking about somebody you had an affair with or somebody you made love to or somebody you thought about, you never took it out to see the garbage that happened afterwards. You lock at some point. Well, that's the same thing you do with your ideas. You get all these great ideas. I got to do this. And you stop it at the high point in your mind. And before you know it, every muscle and nerve in your being is giving breath. Is giving importance to that idol that you've created in your mind. You've denied God, you've denied the cross, you've denied everything, and you'll do anything to meet the needs of that idolatry. But you know you're a fool for doing it. But you're saying, but oh, you don't understand my ones. Mine are good. Right. Tell me about it. First of all, you're a fool because your idol is so little. If you're going to have an idol, go get a big one. But whatever you do, take it. Let it take it to its end. You have the capacity to do that. But you refuse to. Because if you do that, you'll see yourself as naked and alone and hungry and blind and a no person and a no thing, and you will die and you will have to pick up the cross. Oh, but I'm doing this so that we can, this is God stuff, right? I want to do this so I can give money to God, right? I want to do this to support my family, right? At least be honest about it. You want to do it to support your own lusts. It has nothing to do with your family or the God or the body or anything else. As long as that idolatry is there, you cannot enter Jerusalem. You are a wild grape. Oh, but mine is good idolatry. Right. Tell me, if it's so good, let it stand up to me. If it can't stand up to me, how in the hell is it going to stand up to God? You think I intimidate you? You ain't seen nothing yet, baby. But Ollie, you must have some psychological quirk that you do that, right? You believe that, then you're a fool.
Ollie, you know, you're talking about this. It reminds me of when we bought our first new car, and it was we got in the car. We, you know, convinced ourselves that we needed a new car first of all. Had all the good reasons why, and then we went and we got in it and drove it around. And then after that, it's like we never could get past the ride in the car to see the notes that we have for the next 3 or 4 years. But it's so clear that that's exactly what happens. And like with your mate, you can always see the other person, how dumb the idea is, but you can't see your own.
Man, that's why you must exhort one another daily. Because you can fall into this in a New York minute.
If we didn't have any plans or ambitions, we'd just sit around all day like you. Study the Bible.
Praise God.
And now go to, and I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, only a cry. And what does all this have to do with body high places, body idolatry? Because every one of you has an image and what we should be. And every one of you are wrong. I should say every one of us has an average, and every one of us is wrong. Do you have any idea what God demands? You know the word tithe is not mentioned once in the New Testament? Why?
So because we don't have to tithe.
We are the tithe.
I thought it was mentioned in the New Testament.
Where?
Where it talks about the Pharisees, where they
tithe mint and cumin. You're right, I'm sorry.
Not related to your argument.
Put 2 points up there for him.
He gets two.
I don't take any more points.
I don't write any more points. After Bible study tomorrow, John, I want to fit you for a shirt.
No points.
The idea, though, is that if once you say, Father, I'm yours, then everything is God's.
To whom much has been given, much will be demanded. Well, it's not just our tithing, it is us.
Man.
He demands all of us.
Man. Well, one of the, there's the rest of Isaiah chapter 5 is a bunch of woes. You can read all the woes later that we went to, but we're going to, in verse 18.
Can I say something? I'm just saying in relationship to the tithe now that if as a body each member gives 10%, you can imagine how your own body would work if each member gave about 10%. You'd be in poor shape.
So yeah, sit there for a while and figure out what 10% you wanted to give.
Yeah, I mean, you just hobble around barely making it. Your heart gives about 10%.
Can't think.
Yeah, you'd be awake.
10 plus 2.
So the body has to give 100%, or it's not functioning hard at all. But that's the time.
Verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. I've talked about this so often that you almost remember what it is by now.
Almost.
Repeat it for everybody else.
Yeah.
I'll do it for
them. Take this on already. I'm new. I don't know.
Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. We just had Passover. There's a whole bunch of you that have got some long ropes and you're dragging all of the stuff from Egypt with you into Jerusalem, or into the new, you're on the way to Jerusalem, and you're trying to take all of this stuff with you in a cart. You get the picture? You're drawing all of the effects and effort and imagery and on and on of self-seeking in that cart, taking it with you out of Egypt, or trying to. But guess what? You weigh 110 pounds, or 100, let's say whatever you weigh, and the cart weighs about 560 pounds, and you've just made it up a little hill, and now you're going down another hill, and the cart's rolling backwards. And you're either going to let go of the ropes, or that cart is going to pull you back to Egypt. You understand what you're drawing with you now? What are you taking with you? You know, from God's standpoint, what you're taking with you? You've made a visit to the transfer station just before the burning started, and you're carrying a whole bunch of smelly shit.
Making a withdrawal.
The man says, you want to do what?
God says, everything that's needed is right before your face. But no, God, you don't understand. So I've got to take this. Well, we've just made it over a little hill. Can you get the picture? Is there anything you want to take? Anybody got anything they want to take with them? Honesty is required here, folks. Don't be religious on me.
What kind of stuff do you catch that? What kind of stuff do we think is in the cart?
Well,
careers. Oh, just ideas about what.
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of relatives in that cart.
Complete wood show.
So funny.
There's all kinds of identity in that. Oh, yeah, all of that. Yeah. All your wardrobe is there for your high place identity.
Just in case.
Yeah.
In case you need it.
Do you know that, we never talked about this before, except I did to a small group of you, but do you know that in ancient Israel, drama was unknown? They didn't have plays. It's the only culture in the world that never had drama. Why? Because life was the most exciting drama there was. But what are you taking with you? Identify it, see it as dung, and forget it. If you don't see it as dung, let's talk about it. If you don't talk about it, you're a witness against yourself. Your own worst fear shall come upon you, I promise you. I promise you.
After I went home last night, I called my girlfriend in Seattle, and I've been trying to drag her here with a cart rope. And I think I'm, you know.
I'll just pray that somebody sees me doing the things for me.
Yeah. I've become rather obsessed with the move. You guys saw a house, the other house?
Yeah.
I mean, upstairs. And literally trying to take the costumes and the paraphernalia and the...
Amen.
Music.
I have to see something I'm trying to get identity from, and that's art, right? The ability to draw. The talent, you know, and trying to get it all together to show to the sky in June. I'm still trying to decide whether or not I see this done. I think I do.
For thy sake?
Yeah, here. I'm having a hard time still trying to drag the old John Linda relationship along with me. And as you say, I'm on the other side of the hill and that rascal's pulling back. And he's giving me all sorts of fits.
Man, let it go, my friend. Let it go.
Well, it's like somebody put a stick 'em on the rope.
God's
chop
got
off your hand.
God's got a good solvent. Yeah. Doesn't require you to chop off your hand.
He'll come chop the rope.
All it, and it's called, you know what the solvent was? It's confession.
Blood is slipping. Yeah, I think that's true. Like you can't let go unless it's confessed.
Yeah. Amen.
It loses its power.
I keep trying to justify, you know, playing the guitar and striving after music, but, you know, by saying it's, but I still want to do it.
I still want to do something too. Realizing my radio project idea was something to do.
It seems so unlike you. When I heard about it, I thought I knew nothing about it.
Oh, excuse me.
It didn't matter. It just seems so. It's like, what's Gary doing? What is it he wants to do?
You got a spider on your foot. Daddy long legs.
She's friends getting sick.
There's one thing that's happened to me recently. I think it's God cutting the cart rope or something. It's just like the only thing I think of. It's like, you know, pulling along this idea that I've seen through, but still haunts me sometimes of what I could have been if, you know, if I, you know, gone this path I thought that I was on, and it has to do with the whole peer group of people that I went to high school with and everything. It's like the 10-year reunion is coming up here in a couple of months, and I was all set to try to make some kind of impression, you know, with everybody. I mean, and I'm sure everybody is when they go, but But it's like, I mean, you know, it cost $60 to go, and the deadline passed. I didn't even have the money. So I sent him a letter and said, sorry, I can't attend.
Now I want you to listen to this and see it in light of what this car rope business is. But what things were gained to me, those I counted as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. You got to pay attention when Paul says, yea, doubtless. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. By any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended fully, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things. You can't, you just can't do it both. Can't do it. You can't give breath to your desires, your needs, your wants, your ambitions in the New Jerusalem. It's impossible. And you have to see that. See, what I have given breath to you, what I have, my idolatry is, and I'm serious, and you're not going to, I can imagine the response I'm going to get when I say this. I haven't preached hard enough because I really don't want you to leave. And for that I ask your forgiveness and God's. Some of you that are faced with a massive, massive internal crisis right now. choose this day who you will serve. It's not talking to non-believers. It's talking to people who have said, okay, I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. It's people who's Christ, to whom Christ is knowingly in them. Now the choice is, do I enter the gates of Jerusalem? And knowing that in a heartbeat, time could be no more. And I'm not trying to scare you into the kingdom. But there's some of you who are outside the camp. Because you are still walking about, in spite of the years of preaching, to establish your own right. And if there is anything in you, and you know who I'm talking about, that is still there to establish and activities to establish your own identity. I mean, you've got to, I've got to walk into that gate or I'm going to stay outside the camp. Chapter 17 of Jeremiah, I'm going to read it. Don't go to it, just listen. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. While your children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high places, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all of thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For you have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath, or the no good plant in the desert, and shall not be seen when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. And beware of it. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Not be careful in drought. Neither shall you cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, as we've seen. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the inner being, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You see, it's not smart to ask God for justice. It's not smart. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my only praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my only hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute. Let me not be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Now, this is the connection to all this. Remember that in Hebrews 4 it says that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, therefore labor to enter into that rest. The connection is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the rest of God. Being in Christ is being in Sabbath. You can't be in Sabbath while you're doing your thing. Listen. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people whereby the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah. You know he's talking to you, don't you? Ye kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath. Neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city, but hallow the Sabbath, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. That one didn't remain forever. This one is remaining forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offering and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on Sabbath, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour, and it shall not be quenched. No. You don't have any more excuses. You've got a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You've got the rest of God. You've got God Himself living in your vessel. You've got a lying mind that you can choose not to believe any longer. And you've got an opportunity to enter into Christ. In Christ. In the New Jerusalem. And I pray that you will see every breath and every step of your life and every thought that you have in this domain. That's enough, I quit. Take it, big guy.